Want to greet every one of you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May His grace and peace be upon all. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. Just ask your blessing, Father, upon this time together. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father. Help us be faithful to you and bring glory to you. Again, we just want to thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Let's, I'm just going to, 1 Peter chapter 3. Begin verse 1. In the same way, and this, just want to back up just a little bit. It's verse 20, we're in chapter 2, verse 21. It says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." It said, "Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you are healed." You are healed. "For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." And then it starts out here in the same way. And what it's talking about here is, you know, Jesus humbled himself when he came to this earth. He was a man. He came as a man. But he came, God himself came into this earth and took on the body of a man. You know, we think of a superstar maybe sometimes living in a body, and sometimes we think, you know, that they're just way up there above everybody else because they're a star, or they're a, in whatever the profession they do. And we tend to look at people as on different levels. You know, they're somehow a bunch higher than we are. Maybe someone is super wealthy. Maybe someone's a singer or something that's very way up there. Someone may be very beautiful that we just put on a pedestal. And so we tend to think that they're in a little bit different class. There's a lot of religions that are different. Everybody's in a different class. But you know, just in looking at these people and you really get to know some of them, or you really hear, you find out they have the same problems you are. They used to say they put on their pants one leg at a time, just like you do. I mean, but we have this tendency to make them out to something bigger than what they really are. But in reality, they're just humans. You know, they're the same way as everybody else. They have the same struggles, same thoughts, same fears. Many of them are very troubled in their minds, just like some of us. You know, it's just a battle. But the point is we tend to even elevate them to something different when they're actually not. And then if we would think of gods or something that actually was something different than we are, and yet for him to take on a body and become a human just like us. And that's what Christ did. The Bible says in one place he humbled himself and became a man. He didn't have to. He chose to. He saw that humanity was lost. The creation that he himself had made, our very creator, was lost to him because they rebelled against him and chose to follow Satan and his kingdom. And we became his possession instead of ours. But he came and took on flesh. I remember the first time I really realized that. You know, it's just that God became a man and dwelt among us. It's just amazing whenever we think about something like that. But you know, whenever he came, I've thought about this before, he could have done anything he wanted to do. He had the power. He had the ability to excel in any area in life. And what did he do? He didn't live a life of exalted, or he didn't live a life of always having to be the best or anything like that. He just came and lived just like a common, normal man. Worked a regular job. He didn't have to be the highest executive, which he could have been easily. But he just was a man of no respect or no report, nothing that stood out that made him really special physically, other than just him being God. And that's what it's talking about. And yeah, it's him being our example. He humbled himself and just lived this way. He committed himself to the Father. When things went wrong, when people didn't treat him right, instead of lashing out and saying, "I'll fix you," which he could have at any moment. You see, that's the thing. A lot of times we get pushed around, or we get beat up, or we get bullied or picked on. It's the only reason we get bullied or picked on is because most of the time, because we don't have the power just to crush the person who's picking on us or being mean to us. A lot of times whenever they do, we lash out at them with our mouths and really set them straight. But that's not what Jesus did. He had the ability with his own words to just literally make someone just melt into the dust. All he would have had to do was spoke, "Be gone," and they would have been put away just like that. That's not what he did. He just took it. And he sought help from God. He committed these things into the Father's hands, basically saying, "Lord, thy will be done." And he didn't, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, "Well, I'm going to give it to God, and then he'll smack them upside the head. Or he'll take care of them. He'll destroy them. He'll punish them." But that's not the way he prayed when he prayed and gave things to God. He didn't seek vengeance. He didn't seek retribution. He didn't seek making things right. He said, "Lord, thy will be done." That's the example he left us. You know, we've talked about it before, the kingdom of God. You know what the kingdom of God is? It's when every individual just acts like Jesus. That we learn how to love each other, learn how to do good, learn how to help, learn how to be, learn how to take. if someone would do us wrong. But you know, we have to go through that now to actually test us to see if we would belong. You know, whenever we get to heaven, whenever there's not going to be, you know, people there that don't belong there. That's the problem. You know, a lot of people think that they're saved because they've asked Jesus into their heart, but they don't act like him, they don't look like him, they don't talk like him, they don't do anything like him, because they don't belong with him. And that's what true salvation is, a conversion of my heart. You know, they talked about being born again. I think that term has been belittled just to having an experience. We don't even think what born again as anything just, oh yeah, I'm born again. I was walking this way and now I'm going to heaven and I'm still walking this way. And so they belittled that term of being born again. But being born again is being transformed personally into the image of Christ, to be like him. We sing the song, oh, to be like him. That's the longing of the person that's been born again, is not to be like the world. We don't have to have the things that the world has. We don't have to have the power and the prestige and all that. Our goal is to be like him. Most of the time he was despised and rejected. Many times he was treated cruelly and bad. He didn't seek revenge. He committed it to the Father. And I think that's where a lot of us fail. A lot of times we try to handle it on our own, you know. But he committed himself to him that judges righteously. You know, whenever we get, somebody says something, somebody does us wrong, first thing we do is have to stew about it. You know, and see how bad we're being treated. Or then we begin to think, well, how mean that person was to do something to us. That's the human reaction. The fallen human reaction. But the godly, the Christ human reaction is to say, Lord, I'm in your hands. These are your creation as well. But I'm in your hands. Whatever they may say or do to me has no effect on me. It hurts, but it's not going to change my life. I'm going to commit them to you. And that's what Christ did. He went on to bear our sins in his body. I mean, I think he felt the same things that we do in his body because of our sins. You know, that same push or desire of anger, that same, all of those emotions that come upon us, he dealt with them. He bore them. He didn't lose like we do so often. He bore them. He took them. And because he did that, he took them and he bore them on the cross. He put them away and overpowered them so that we could be, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we are healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd of your souls. See, that's where the change. We were in the world. We were all the things that the world was doing. Same bitter, angerness, revenge, just. But now we've returned to the shepherd of our souls. And the guardian. And in the same way, and then this verse starts, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that if even any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. See here, you know, a lot of people, they talk about equality and that's of how men and women are equal. There's a big push to that. And that's the modern thing, the modern thought, that's the way it's supposed to be. But you know, that's not the way God made it. That you may be as smart, you may be more capable, you may have more control, you may have a lot of things, but just like Jesus, he humbled himself and became a man. And I think that's what it's trying to say here. In the same way, wives, be submissive to your husbands. That does not mean they are better than you. That does not mean that they're smarter, wiser, faster, more capable. It just means that they have a different place that God has placed them in. You know, a lot of them think, well, I'll let him think he's getting his way so we can get along here. But then secretly we're turning the knobs, trying to change him. In the same way, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word. Okay, you even have a husband that is disobedient to the word, that doesn't line up with the word, like we're talking about. Lining up with the word is being like Christ. Maybe he doesn't always line up like Christ. What's your responsibility? You make sure and point it out, and you straighten it out. Straighten him out. You set him straight. You start trying to nag and fix him. No. Here's one that, be submissive to your own husband, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word. You don't have to tell them they're wrong every time they mess up. You don't have to do all of that. But that submissiveness to the will, that they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. You see, just like everything else in the world, if you just do your part, just like Jesus did his part, whatever they did, it was fine. He committed it to the Lord. He was a truly righteous man. And if a woman in a bad situation, whatever situation they're in, if they just truly trust the Lord and give it to him, that has more effect on people than all of your arguments, all of your debate, all of your pointing out flaws, just submissively being there and doing what you're supposed to do. That has such an effect. You know, that's what the effect of Jesus' life had on all the things that happened to him, and people didn't see you. Well, they saw how he handled it and went right through it. He had a power they didn't know anything of, an ability, and that's what he's calling women to do, ladies to do, is to be in that same place. And then it says, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. This is the husband. You know, he knows he's messing up, usually. He knows what's going on. And yet, if you just act the way you're supposed to, chaste, controlled, respectful. You know, we all are to be that way. Talks earlier in it about bosses and, you know, masters even of slaves, treating each other this way. This is the way we're all supposed to be treated. So it's no big deal for a woman just to submit to her husband. We all have to submit to somebody at some time or another. And it's how we act in this world when we're in a bad place and people are taking advantage of us, people are yelling at us, people are saying all kinds of bad things, people are kind of picking on us, even men, just like Jesus, that we do this with a committed to the Lord and bless them. They curse, see that a little later. But as they observe your chaste and respectful conversation, behavior, you just do what you're supposed to be doing. You know, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. You know, if you think of God that has everything, whatever, I mean, just has everything, but yet he finds something precious to him. It isn't a big pile of gold. It isn't a big earth. It isn't the beauty of all the universe. You know that, oh, that's my favorite. You know what he finds precious? A meek and quiet spirit in a woman. I think it goes on past that to a man as well, but he's pointing it out here. That you have it in your capability to be precious to God. Think of all the things that the world holds precious, or think of what a God that created all things would hold precious. I love my earth. It's just beautiful. No, it's the response of a being that he's created that's meek and quiet, trusting in him. Get rid of the whole world. Get rid of all that other stuff. And just have that person that's meek. That's my most precious thing. We've all got things that we hold dear and we really like. But this is what God loves. That meek and quiet. The quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in the same way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. That, you know, we think of Abraham and Sarah. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about when a time, whenever they were coming into a village, and Abraham was afraid that they would kill him and take his beautiful wife. And so he told her, he said, why don't you lie to them and tell them you're my sister? To the point where one time he came into this town and the king took her to be his wife. And she went along with that out of respect for her husband. The Lord revealed to the king that this is his wife. And the king went to Abraham and said, why'd you lie to me? God almost killed me because I was going to take your wife. And then he gave Abraham a whole bunch of things and sent him on his way and told anybody, if anybody touches this man's wife, they'll be put to death. But that's what she was willing to do, just to support her husband. That's what he's talking about there. So it's not just, yeah, he told me to do the ironing, I'm going to go iron his shirts. No, he told her to lie for him even. You don't necessarily just, but that's the heart of it. She trusted him. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will be not hindered. You know, I don't know how many times I've talked about the different things that a man should be doing and different things that a woman be doing, and I've seen it where whenever you talk about how the woman should be submissive, the husband's over there, listen, make sure you get this. And then when you talk about how the husband should be, the woman's, get this, hear this. We all know how the other person should act. But it's a rare thing whenever they say, no, this is the way I'm supposed to act. And maybe if I act the way I'm supposed to, he'll do the same. You know, we hear the message that applies to everybody else, but how few times we actually say, no, that's the role I'm supposed to take, and I'm going to do it by God's grace. I'm going to live that out. That's the meek and quiet spirit. You know, if we're easily see all of his faults or all of her faults, that's not a very meek and quiet spirit. That's the judge, which is not a pretty thing. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will be not hindered. To sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. To sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. You know, sometimes people have little issues that, talked about the tongue this morning, and it's even here a little bit later. Treat others the way you would want to be treated. You know, if we just treat everybody the way I would actually want to be treated, you know, a lot of times we think we're really fixing things when we just tell somebody how it is. Put yourself in the others. Would you want someone just telling you just exactly how you are? Think about it. You know, it's easier for us to see that other person. You know, they need this, they need that, so I'm just going to tell them, this is what you need. Blah, 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 you're no good, and you're just worthless, and you just... What if they're seeing you the same way you're seeing them? What if they're seeing you the same way you're seeing them? That's why the Bible tells us about judging. You know, a lot of times we condemn in other people the very thing that is in our heart. We see clearly other people because we have a real good reflection of ourselves That's how come we can see bad things in others, because we see the same things in ourselves and we hate those things. So it expresses itself in letting that other person have it. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Not returning evil for evil. You know, if somebody really lays me out or lays it out, what's our first reaction? Give it right back to them. We get hurt. So what do? We have to hurt in response. Not returning evil for evil. Rise above. And that's a Christian. Rises above. That's the thing that impresses me most about Jesus' teachings. What's normal, just, is revenge. What's fair? Level the playing field. They hit me, I hit them back. That is fair. That's just. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, the Old Testament says. That's fair. That's to keep everything just on a level playing field. But that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is somebody slaps me instead of just doing what's fair and right, I rise above it. And not with a vengeful thing, but actually hoping that person receives a blessing. You know, I've heard a lot of people, they get slammed and somebody just said, well, bless you. And it's just dripping with just vengeance. That's not what he's talking about here. This is someone that's real. Somebody does them wrong and they say, well, in their heart, they don't even have to say it because it just evokes more problems to say, bless you. A lot of times, but they can say it in their heart and just say, God bless them. When they've done me wrong or said something. You know, it's easy. We talk about this. If a stranger would come up and just slap you upside the head, you could say, bless you. You know, if you're trying to talk to someone about the Lord and they slap you upside the head, bless you. You know, it's easy. What about your brother does that to you? What about your sister does that to you? What about your husband says something? What about your wife? What about somebody that really knows you does this? That's a whole different ballgame. It's on. But that's when it counts. Putting on a show out in public, whenever you're preaching and you got to say, oh, bless you in front of everybody, because that's just putting on a show. When it counts is whenever somebody says it that really knows you. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you are called for this very purpose. This is the reason for your existence. That's your call as a Christian. Like I said, I've said it before, these little books, Peter, John, James, Jude, these were men who walked with Jesus, lived with him for years. Listen to him, watched him, touched him, ate with him, traveled with him. And they're giving us some instruction that I think we do well. You know, we want wisdom, we seek it out. All right here is men who walked with Christ telling us, giving us some advice. For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You know, this is about people who are doing what's right. And they're going to do what's right, even though it upsets someone. Even though it upsets people, they're going to still do what's right. Heard an example of a day that this man was in a group of people that if he does what's right, the other people will get upset. So his plan was to keep the peace. I'll just go along with everything. That's not what he's talking about here. This is doing what's right, and that's what Jesus said. You know, I came into the world not to bring peace, but a sword. And he didn't mean go fight with everybody. What he meant was, you do what's right, and people will not be happy with you. But that's still how you make peace. You might not be able, you're not going to make peace with the world. If you have peace with God, you're going to be at odds with the world. That's just the way it is. And if you have to compromise doing right and doing what's right, and someone being mad at you and you're not willing to do that, you'd rather have their respect than God's. You know, doing what's right is going to cause us problems sometimes. Seek peace and pursue it. And that peace is with God. And you know, if you have peace with God, you'll have peace with other people that have peace with God. That's just the way it works. If you're doing what's right, you're loving the good, pursuing godliness and righteousness, a whole lot of people aren't going to like it, but there's a few that will. For the eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous. And here again, just the concept of this. This is God Almighty. And he's not looking at all the fabulous things that he created or that man has created. He's just looking at a man or a woman that just loves goodness. And his eye is toward it. He's got his eye focused on that. But his face, he turns his back on those that would do evil. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? That's just the question. Who's going to hurt you if God has got his eye on you? You know, it might not go the way you think it ought to. Maybe you want to. Maybe the plans, according to your plans. But if your eye's on God and you commit these things to him, his eye is on you. And that's all we really need. for him to, you know, I just think of a sporting event or something, you know, if someone does something great, the whole crowd jumps up and yells. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is seated on the right hand of God. And yet, whenever we see Stephen being stoned unjustly, Stephen saying, "Father, forgive them." While he's being stoned, they're throwing rocks at him, and he's saying, "Forgive them." Then it says, I saw Jesus standing. He was watching. It's like a football game or like a baseball game. Something great's happening. When James was saying, "Forgive them," Jesus stood up. Yeah! You know, you see them act that way at ball games or sporting things like that because they're excited. But look where Jesus got excited. Look at that! He's trusting in me no matter what happens. Look at that! She's being faithful no matter what happens. That's when Jesus is on his feet. Who will harm you if you prove zealous for what is right? May the Lord add his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Someone may be successful, someone may be less, and all these different classes of people, but every one of us all have the same opportunity to be precious, you know, in God's eyes, and to just be submissive and just turn the other cheek and just rise above and make a difference.
Amen. All right, well, God bless y'all. We'll meet back here at 6 o'clock, Lord willing.
Also, I'm singing today at the 2:15 in Aurora, the Hudson House. Also, we've got a group go to Mount Vernon at 2:30.
Okay.
Need it. Go there.
All right. God bless y'all. Heart and peace.